We are all different, in case you hadn't noticed. Sometimes we wish we weren't so different, but some of our differences are really good. God created each and every one of us unique. And part of the reason why he created us unique is that those differences that are in us are actually become a gift that we can give to our world, to our life. And then some of us just choose to be different. I mean, maybe it's to be cool. That could be the motivation. Or maybe we choose to be different because we just want to express our individuality. We don't want to be a conformist. And the more different we are, the more we stand out. For example, take a look. That's standing out. That's different. And that's different. And every one of those folks is different. And that's different. And I don't know if you've noticed that on our staff, our male staff, the majority of our male staff wear beards. Have you noticed that? I call that conformity. I choose to be different. Or I can't grow a good beard. You could be. That's the reality. There are times and there are ways that we want to stand out, to be different. We need to stand out, to be different. Take a job interview, for example. You want your resume. You want your work history. You want your looks. You want your responses in the interview to stand out. You want your potential employer to see you as different enough that you stand out in a good way and they'll select you. I remember a job interview I was going to in college. It was actually at the college where I attended, and I needed this job. We need jobs, but there are times you really need a job. And this job was being a representative for this college in summer camps. And the reason why I wanted that job was, one, that was a lot of fun to spend all summer at camp, but also it paid for my entire year of my tuition the next year. And there was no way I was going to be able to pay for tuition. So I had the appointment, and on the day of my interview, I missed it because I was playing basketball with my friends. I was heartbroken when I realized what happened. So I begged if I could have a second interview, another interview, and they granted that to me. So I knew I had to stand out. I knew I had to. So I went over the top. I put a backpack on. I wore, you know, all the camping gear, and I went into the interview singing "Onward, Christian Soldiers." That's what I did, and I got the job. Sometimes you got to go over the top. Sometimes we want to stand out to get something really important, whether it's a job or a mate, or we want to get that promotion. We want to get accepted into a certain college program. We want to get picked for a team, whatever it is. And the fact is, actually, God wants us to stand out for something important. God wants us to be different. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be set apart from our culture. He wants us to be a clear contrast from the world in which we live. And that's why we're doing this series. We're in our second week of this series that we're calling Contrast. And this theme of contrast comes from a letter that Peter, a follower of Jesus, a disciple, an apostle, wrote in 1 Peter. It's called 1 Peter because he wrote two letters. This is the first of the two letters. And so I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to get to the heart of the theme of this series today. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 13. It's page 828 in the Bibles on the seats in front of you. Those of you who are with us live online, we've got the link there for you as well. Join us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. As Peter begins this part in his letter, in verse 13, he says, with minds that are alert and fully sober, he says, why are we to be alert about the hope that we have on the grace that's going to come to us when Jesus appears? What's he talking about? He's talking about our salvation. He's saying, look, there's something so important. Whether we die or whether Jesus comes, whichever happens first, we're going to get to experience the salvation that's offered us through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And what he's reminding us right at the very beginning, there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important than that. We are saved, he's reminding us, from our sin. We're saved from the punishment of our sin. We're saved from hell. And then not only are we saved from those things, we're saved to something. We're saved to a life that will never end in the presence of God, eternal life. And what Peter's reminding us right here at the beginning before he gets into his real push for us is this, is that we are saved from this world to be different from this world. Because that's where he's going to go with this. We're saved not just to coast in our salvation, saved from those terrible things, saved to these good things. He's saying something else. We can't just coast. We're not just saved from hell and then to go on to live like hell. We're saved to be different. We're saved to be different. And so Peter uses those words at the very beginning. Be alert and fully sober. Be so aware. What he's doing is he's warning us right up front. And what he's warning us is that he doesn't want us to slip back into the old ways that we used to live. The old attitudes, the old sins, the old behaviors, the old lifestyle that we willingly engaged in before we began to follow Jesus. Don't go back there, he's saying. Now, before I go any further, because we're going to unpack that a little bit more, I just want to pause and I want to remind you. Maybe this is something you haven't understood, but I want to give this caution because when I talk about sin, and I'm going to talk more about it, it's so easy to go to a place of shame. You see, it's just common, and many of us have experienced this, that religion is really good at heaping shame on us when we're talking about sin. And I'm not here to shame you. That's not the goal. See, here's what I know. I know that shame is a lousy motivator. When people try to change because of shame, it rarely lasts. The change rarely lasts. And when we live in shame, when we let religious shame just stay on us, what we end up doing is we end up feeling so bad that we end up looking then for things that will ease the shame, ease the pain, that end up being things that aren't pleasing to God. And we get in this crazy cycle of, I feel shame, I do more bad, I feel more shame, I feel bad. And it's a terrible system. This is not about shame. But at the same time, we can't ignore the sin that's a part of our life, that was, that is a part of our life. Because sin destroys. It ruins things. It ruins our relationship with God. It ruins our relationship with others. It damages us. And so Peter's just warning us. Look, you're going to be tempted to go back to those old ways that you left when you started following Jesus. It's gonna happen. And so Peter says, be alert. Be aware of those natural sins that used to be a part of your life. Those, I call those your go-to sins. Those sins that are our kind of natural preferred sins. The sins that had power in our lives before we began following Jesus. The ones that we struggle with the most. The ones that always seem to be hanging around. The ones we feel the most guilty over. The ones that just never completely disappear. Way to think about what your go-to sins are, the ones where that you're most vulnerable to, the the ones that are your weak spot. Maybe it's putting up a false image. It's a lie. Putting up a picture that's not really who you are. Maybe it's the tendency to lie to avoid having to have conversations about really hard things. Maybe it's lust. Or it could be anger. Or it could be words that just always seem to come out that hurt others. It could be in a judgmental spirit, or it could be gossip. It could be an addiction. An addiction that's there because you use it to ease the pain or lessen the stress. It could be alcohol, drugs, porn, shopping, eating. Whatever it is, it's a temptation that's always there. It never really leaves us alone. It's waiting to trap us again. I want you to look at what Peter says then in verse 14 again. Let's go back. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Don't conform. Don't go back to those things. He's warning us about the power of conformity. It's an incredible power. It may be the very thing we've been talking about. The power of conformity is drawing us back to those things we used to do that were so natural. There's also a constant power of conformity in our culture that we live in. There's always this pressure in our world to live and to do the things, to think the way of this world. It constantly pushes us to conform. An example, you're a salesman, saleswoman. And the other salespeople that you work with are pressuring you to pad your expense report. And the reason why they want you to pad your expense report, because if you don't, then they're going to be noticed and get in trouble and get caught. So there's that pressure there. Or maybe there's the pressure to get that good grade, to pass the test, to pass the course. And that pressure is so great that you're willing to cheat to be able to get that grade or to get that course accomplished. Or maybe it's this obsession and worry about how you look to others, how you look physically, how you look as a parent, how you look as a supermom. But the reason there is because it's your concern is how others will look at you. And then there's the temptation to join the gossip. Because when you join in the gossip, then you belong and you're a part. All of us, hopefully, who made the decision to follow Jesus, we changed since we began following Jesus. But the world still pressures us back to those old ways, pressures us to conform to the ways. The fact is this, the world wants you back. And it uses that pressure of conformity to get you back. And so we experience this conformity, the pressure to fit in, to belong, to not be different. But that pressure also is an interesting thing because it oftentimes also causes us to choose to be silent. That's actually one of the results of conformity. Everybody else is acting this way. Everybody else is doing this. And we want to be different, but then we have to go against that, so we just stay silent. It was a number of years ago that I became lead pastor here at Pantano. And as I was becoming lead pastor, that was a new role for me. And so I went to a meeting with a group of Christian leaders who were leading churches and organizations that were much larger than Pantano at the time. These were people who had influence in the church world. They were well-known, respected. It seemed some of them were authors. And I went to this meeting because I needed to learn. I knew I could learn everything I could from these kinds of folks, I thought. And so when I was at this meeting, there was a small group of them, and they started telling sexual jokes. These jokes were demeaning to women. They violated biblical values, and I was shocked. I was totally caught off guard. What am I going to do? I'm the new guy. I'm brand new in this role. I've never been a part of this group, you know, and I'm coming in here. All of these folks were senior to me. What was I going to do? Honestly, I had no temptation to join in. That wasn't my temptation. The challenge was, what was I going to do? And you know what the easiest thing to do? Stay quiet. Or make an excuse and walk out. And that's what I did. I regret that decision. I wish that I would have had the courage to speak up clearly, specifically, boldly, strongly. Because maybe, as the new guy with a fresh voice, I could have brought the difference that needed to be there in that moment. But I chose to walk away in silence. There's a powerful, powerful thing that goes on in our lives that's called the power to conform, and that conformity sometimes causes us to be silent. And some of you face this every day at work. I know. Some of you face this every day at school. This is what I'm sharing is your everyday experience. You know what I'm talking about all too well. All around us is this constant pressure to conform to the things that are contrary to the things of God. And so Peter reminds us that we are called to stand out. We are called to be different. We are called to be set apart. We are called to be a contrast for good in a world that has long lost what is really good. Look at verses 15 and 16. Look at what Peter says. But just as he who called you is holy, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. That comes out of Leviticus chapter 11. Be holy as I am holy. Jesus calls us to be holy. I love what the word holy means. It has a very specific meaning. The word holy means to be different, to be set apart, to be a contrast to the world around you. That's exactly what the word holy means, to be unique for God, to not just to stand out to be weird or strange, but to stand out for the things of God, the things that are good. This is our calling. We are to be different from the world, to make a difference in the world. That's our calling. God needs us to be the difference for good in our world, whatever that world is. So let's look at this word holy a little bit more. When you hear the word holy, what comes to your mind? I think for many of us, when we think of that word holy, we think of absolute perfection, because God is holy. You know, and so when we think, you know, the command is that we're to be holy, we think that means I got to be absolutely perfect. In a religious sense, it means that the person who's holy, they never sin, they got it all together all the time. Anyone here holy? Raise your hand. I'm serious. Raise your hand. That feels really uncomfortable to do, doesn't it? You know, because if you raise your hand, you go, man, they're going to think I've got everything perfect in my life. It's intimidating. But the Bible commands us to be holy. Just in those verse 15 and 60, twice it says, be holy, be holy. It's a command. Now, don't give up yet. Don't go, this message doesn't relate to me at all. I can't relate. Listen, none of us are perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. We're not perfect. We get that. So what's the meaning here? Why are we commanded to be holy? How are we to be a contrast right where we're at? Well, we look to Jesus because he was holy. We look to Jesus and say, how was Jesus holy? Jesus was different. Do you notice that when you read the stories of Jesus? He's always different than what everybody expects. He responds differently to other people, different than the other rabbis responded. We are to be like Jesus, who was holy in how he treated and responded to people. And that's our calling. That's our challenge, to be different from the world, to make a difference in the world just like Jesus did. And when we begin to think like Jesus inside, when we invite Jesus to be inside, then we begin to act like Jesus to others. And Jesus always was so different than the culture that he was a part of. Specifically, how was he different? How was Jesus holy in how he responded to others? He really loved people even when they hated him. That's different. And it wasn't just a game. He really loved people even when they hated him. He forgave those who sinned against him. He forgave. He stood up for the weak and the powerless. He confronted those who did wrong. But when he confronted those who did wrong, and some of us are really good at that, he did it in love. He would confront the wrong, but he did it with love. He constantly cared for and acted in ways that showed that he cared for those by always putting the good of others first. In every encounter, Jesus was different. A difference for good. And that's our calling. Our calling is to be different from the world, to make a difference in the world. How does that look like in our lives? We're not Jesus. We live in a different time. It means that we refuse to join others who are tearing someone down. Happens all the time. We're always around conversations where somebody else is tearing someone down who's probably not there. We can choose to build them up. We can take the time at a personal cost, and it always is a personal cost, to help someone else succeed and help someone else get noticed. You see, if I'm gonna help someone else succeed, and if I'm gonna help someone else get noticed by our boss or by the teacher or by whoever, then I'm probably not gonna get noticed, but I'm gonna work to help them succeed. And not only does our holiness show up and that we're not going to bully other people, that ought to be obvious, but we're also going to defend those who are bullied. And guess what? Bullying doesn't just happen in elementary and middle school. It happens at work. It happens in your family. It happens all the time. And we don't try to get even with those who hurt us. In fact, we go the extra step. We pray for them. We forgive them. We seek to be Jesus in all of our encounters. It's not easy. We're not going to be successful every time and perfectly, but we really, this is what we're commanded to be. We're commanded to be holy. We're commanded to be Jesus. And every time we interact with someone, we treat others the way Jesus treated others. We're commanded to be holy. How? I'm being honest. How? It's a fair question. It's so hard. And that's a clue. That's our first clue. We can't do it on our own. We're not going to be holy like Jesus by just trying hard. It's not going to get us there. We have to turn to the one who is holy. We need Jesus. To be like Jesus, we need Jesus. To be like Jesus, we have to invite him into our lives. That is literal. His very spirit comes into our life, and it's also in the sense that we want Jesus to influence how we think, what our values are that drive how we act. We want Jesus to fill us in every possible way where our focus is on him. And when our focus is on him, when we invite him to have that kind of influence in our life, then Jesus changes us, and that's our only hope of being holy. He changes us. He changes everything. Now, there's three keys to making that happen. And it's interesting, as I was preparing this message, and then also I've been looking at Pastor Roger's message, who's preaching next week. Is it Roger this next week? Yeah, I think Roger's next week. I've done a lot of traveling this week. We're going to say the same thing. And we're going to say the same thing because these three keys have been tried and practiced for 2,000 years by those who are following Jesus. There are three things that help Jesus have that influence in our lives to change us. These are what we do to allow him to have that influence in our life. And the first one is reading God's word. Especially the Gospels. I am constantly going back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the story of Jesus because I want to know how Jesus thought. I want to see how he responded to people. I want to see what holiness was for him. How was Jesus different than the culture that he lived in? And it's God's word that has incredible power because when we read these words, God who's living takes those words and makes them real in our lives. And then the second key is prayer. Talking with God about all this. Engaging in God constantly throughout our day. And those things, I know that many of you have heard these before. Reading God's word, praying, and that could become very religious. Well, we do this to make God happy with us. No, we're not praying and reading God's word just so that God likes us. We're doing it to invite Jesus to influence our lives so that we can be the difference that we need to be in our world. And then there's a third piece. We don't do this well on our own. We need others. That's why I'm a part of a small group. That's why I want you to be a part of a small group. That's why some of us have accountability partners. Some of us have prayer partners. Some of us will meet with somebody to read and study and pray together. We need some other people in our lives to help us, encourage us, pray for us, challenge us when we need to be challenged. And if we'll do those three things, Then we begin that journey to being holy as God is holy. We begin that intentional path. And so here's the question I want to ask you. How does God want you to be different? How does God want you to be a contrast, maybe in your family, maybe in your home, maybe at work, or school, or your neighborhood? I want you to identify one key area where God needs you, wants you to be a difference for good in your world, wherever that is. And I want you to think about it. I'm going to come back to it in just a second. I know this is important because when we're commanded to be holy, then that has to be an intentional process. One, if it's commanded, we need to take it seriously. If it's commanded, it's possible, so we engage in it. And it was a number of years back. God made it really clear that I needed to be different in a particular area. I needed to be different in a way that would truly make a difference. And God convicted me of this. And what God convicted me of, and it was because of the horrible racial divide that had become so clear in my mind, that what God was saying to me was, I need you to be more than just not prejudice. I believe I have not been a prejudiced person. I don't want to be prejudiced. But God was saying, you need to go beyond that to actually being a part of racial reconciliation. All right? So what do you do with that? For me, it meant that I needed to do some things. And so I began by meeting with a group of Black and Hispanic pastors. We met once a month. And I'm telling you, there were days when we met that we had really hard conversations. Fortunately, this group was safe enough that we could ask hard questions so that we could understand each other, because we were different in some ways. All of us were. We were facing different issues. Our churches were different. And so we began that process. And then through that, I made the intentional choice to visit some of the Black and Hispanic churches right here in our community. And then because of that, I got invited, and this was the scariest part, to speak at a predominantly African-American church and a predominantly Hispanic church. That's scary because it's different. By the way, I love African-American preachers. They are awesome. And I am not. As a result of the relationships, we showed three movies here at Pantano Christian Church and invited African-American and Hispanic churches to join us. We had discussions after the movies. We showed Selma, Woodlawn, and Hidden Figures. I was able to help organize and participate in two Love Conquers Hate events. It took work. It took time. It was at times very uncomfortable. But that's what we're called to be. We're called to pursue the way of Jesus, whatever that is, to be the difference that He needs us to be wherever we are. And so I'm asking you, what is that thing for you? It's not going to be the same as what God spoke to me. What is that for you? How does God need you to be different in your home, with your extended family, where you go to school or where you work, with a particular neighbor? How is God calling you to be holy, to be different, to stand out in a good way? And if you're not sure what it is, ask. God will guide you. He has called you to be holy, to be different, and He will guide you if you just simply ask Him. And then when you know what it is, whatever that it is, and also ask Him to open doors, give you the courage. You know what our mission is. Some of you may be new and haven't heard it yet. This is our mission. This is what we do as a church, loving people to Jesus. Launching passionate people, you and I, to make a difference. That's what we're called to do. Do something. Take that first step. Take that next step. Be different from the world to make a difference in the world. Let's pray. Father God, You have called us to be different. Not just weird or strange, but But to be the kind of difference that's for good, to be the Jesus difference, to be Jesus in our encounters and our interactions. And we just admit to you that's hard. In certain situations with certain people, it's so hard. And so we just confess to you, Jesus, we need you in our lives. Jesus, we need you to change us. We need you to lead us to be that difference and to be courageous as we do that and steadfast. And so we need you, Jesus, not only to change us, but we know that you change everything. And so help us to be the difference that our world needs. In Jesus' name.